This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news, WGRN 102.1 with Dan Dugan.
Yeah, I'm kind of like the other Bob on the other side of the news here. Yes, did you say 94.1? You did, didn't you? The Green Renaissance. That's what it is. We're also on WCRS 92.7 and 98.3.
Yipper. Yes.
Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Gee, that's good. We actually memorized it this week, Bob. We're making progress here in our new video world. So we're going to speak with someone who has a book today, sir.
We are indeed.
Bottoms up.
Well, look at there. Bottoms up. You can
the bottom up revolution.
The bottom up revolution.
Yes,
Rob Call.
Bottoms up.
Again, I've written several pieces over the years for Op-Ed News, one of my favorite media outlets. And again, whenever we can, we try to assist them here at the Free Press. So let's see.
Assistance.
Well, we assist them in terms of being their fiscal agent and other such things. And
Harvey that would Boston, indicate finances.
Finances. Well, their finances, all we do is help a little. All right. Is Rob there?
We are still trying to get
Speaking of finances,
let's go to local stuff.
You can.
All right.
We're going local.
We're going local.
So I was just about to say, locally, you could send some money to help the finances of this radio station with Columbus Free Press. And there's Patreon.
Patreon.
So we're going to discuss something local this week, Dr. Bob?
We've already mentioned it in the past with Don Scott Airport.
Right.
And Freelance Air. But we did a little digging. And
an aeroplane that is able to capture the signals of all the cell phones in the area.
All the cell phones. Breaks encryption. Can drive down the highway and create a little fake cell tower and suck your data out of your phone.
Ooh. That's no fun.
Could be if it was somebody progressive using the data. But it's not.
Instead,
it's the U.S. government, Freelance Air. And you'll see when we get to the webpage, they've got a little post office in Kennesaw, Georgia, called Going Postal. And there they have a post office box. And they're this company.
Kennesaw, Georgia?
Kennesaw.
Like Kennesaw Mountain Landis?
Exactly.
Yes.
The legendary Kennesaw.
Going Postal.
Right? In the Going Postal building, there's a post office box. So this company that has 100 or so planes, that's their world headquarters. You could work for them.
Through the Going Postal little suburban strip mall office.
Yes.
Yes.
And let's take a look at what their airplanes do. Here's one right here, right? It's up in the Cleveland area. Right?
Okay.
It's going for a little flight.
Uh-huh.
And again,
he's looping around. So perhaps at that point with this circles going around, he's actually zeroed in on a particular signal that he wants to.
Well, he's probably signaled in on a concentrated neighborhood of Cleveland where he's sucking all the data, perhaps.
Well, right.
You know, we're alleging.
Yeah.
But again, Nodi starts there.
He's drawing a heck of a steady circle, I will say that. He has quite a pattern going on. Seriously, there is a method to his madness, though, right? I mean,
you usually want to get data.
Yes.
We don't know.
Oh, he just crashed in the lake.
So, look, very interesting. And we find these in some of the other cities, too. Throughout
That's
Ohio.
Colorado, is that?
This is, in fact, I don't know. It will
like
say,
it.
Right, this is the schedule.
Yes,
that
would
using
be Colorado. Sir.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty good with geography when I was. I still kind of am.
And then the third one?
So.
Oh, take a look here. This is the Cincinnati area.
Uh-huh.
Do the replay.
So they're looping all the way up 71. Obviously. Yeah, I know that map too.
Look at this right there. Look at
they're doing, and they did loops all the way up 71. So yes. And now it's looping around. What's that? Over the Rhine.
Yeah, looks like it.
Mm-hmm.
And look, they're
here,
going
and now
up
they go up 71.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Wow.
Real good place to suck
okay.
on cell phones.
And they just bring it in with the express purpose of what? Like, what is done with this
well,
information?
Well, you know, what is alleged, and we have, well, they who knows? We know they work for Homeland Security. They're reported to have contracts with the FBI and
the DEA.
Open up,
it's the gazpacho.
So when the operating is in active mode, the Stingray device mimics a wireless carrier cell tower. So what they're doing is creating a fake cell tower
right.
that acts like a cell tower. So you're plinging it, and it's sucking all
what
your
information
phone
are they looking for that they're sucking up? That's kind of my question there. That
well,
is my question.
I'm suspecting all of it. Right, 71 is supposed
okay, and
to
then,
be a route.
But then at some point they
well, the DEA is looking for drug info.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank
the,
you. Okay.
Who knows?
So,
FBI
but it's Homeland Security, so you know it's also supposed to include
terrorists.
Yeah, both you know homegrown and those others. But nonetheless, I'm just saying it's so. But so it. But there's nothing.
They're doing it all without a warrant.
We wouldn't expect them to be looking at. In other words, they're looking for drugs. They're looking for terrorists.
We would hope they would have a warrant. You know, while they're out looking, instead of focusing on one suspected terrorist,
they would have a warrant for
getting the data. Right? They're seizing people's data from their cell phones without permission and without a warrant.
Okay.
It'd be much better, you think, if they had a warrant and were actually going after real terrorists, real drug dealers.
Real ones.
So we don't know. You know, people that actually are engaged in trafficking drugs as opposed to driving down the highway talking on your phone.
Right. So, okay. So, again, their primary effort is to go after illicit drug traffic.
Or
and or
Homeland
what
Security
may be,
threats.
Right. Okay. All right. They wouldn't happen to be, you know, looking at people's taxes, would they?
Probably not on
the president,
phone.
I think, would be against
although
that,
if you were texting or you had data on your phone, maybe they and it related to taxes, they could get that
mm-hmm.
and see if there were any strange patterns.
But is Ohio unique then? I guess it's not.
No, no, there was already there were already
Georgia.
14 states
right.
that the ACLU had documented with having these Stingray devices
uh-huh.
and these, you know, were tracking, using planes like this to track. Ohio, you know, we still don't know. All we have is some evidence suggesting that perhaps you know, this plane associated with Freelance Air may have been involved because of the flight patterns. But if, again, it hasn't really flown much in the last 14 days. Since we reported that it may be doing this, it pretty much, according to published flight logs, isn't doing much anymore.
Huh. Really? So do you think there's a correlation?
Well, I think,
you
know, when and people have been talking, who is Freelance Air? And why would you have so many planes
I swear
in,
I don't. You're
in a post office box in Kennesaw,
so who
Georgia?
Are they, since you raised that question.
I don't know. Nobody seems to know. All we know is they've got airplanes that fly peculiar patterns.
Okay. All right. And it is suspected that they're tied to the government.
Yeah, we have sources, and they're using, of course, Downscott Field at OSU. So it's interesting, but you know they go up,
and
they
is
circle
there
around
evidence
and around
that the
and
government
around.
Is doing it then?
I oh well,
assume
the,
there must be.
Well, the Electronic saying, right? Frontier Foundation and the ACLU has caught the government doing this with. You know, obscure airlines and planes. And the pattern is that circling and circling to overlay and pick up all the data you can.
That's a
distinguishing pattern.
Well, so then is it safe to say that Freelance Air is a is an independent company that works for the United States government?
I suspect, yeah, I expect.
But you can't say
just
that
like,
for sure.
Well, people on the internet, those that follow it, you know, is it like Southern Air Transport, formerly Air America?
That's exactly where I wanted to go because, you know, they who worked out of Rickenbacker Air Force for so many years that I used to read about in the Columbus Free Press.
So all we know is their headquarters is a post office box inside this Going Postal in a strip mall. I mean, it looks like Kennesaw is perfectly... Georgia, perfectly lovely place.
Well, it just looks like any other place in America, right? I mean,
well, it's good and nice weather.
With a really clever little name, Going Postal, by the way.
Okay.
So I once wrote a song, Pistol Pack and Paranoid, or let's see, Paranoid, Pissed Off, Pistol Pack and Postal Worker, no less. So it was a big hit, yeah. But anyway, so we know where that place is, we know what their name is, we know about Freelance
Air,
and we suspect that it's all working with the United States government to spy on its citizens.
Well, that's what the ACLU has, alleged, and not specifically with Freelance
Air. ACLU has,
but there's been other small airlines here and there that have been caught working for the government to suck up data. To essentially, create a fake cell tower and draw in all the communication.
Huh. So are we discussing anything else local this week?
On
the other side of the news, WGRN 94.1, the Green Renaissance.
That's our guest.
All right. Well,
we are discussing
not.
A book.
We're discussing the Bottom-Up Revolution.
Ringing in now, so.
Mastering the Emerging World of Connectivity.
Here's our author.
And there's Tom Hartman.
I'm sorry.
And Rob Call. That's Tom Hartman who wrote.
What I meant was the Rob Call line was about the author, but okay.
All right.
And then there's a picture of Tom Hartman.
Indeed.
Who is on?
Who wrote the foreword
WGRN.
To the book. Yes, mm-hmm. And he's on WGR. And there's Mr. Call.
Uh-huh.
Now we're seeing him live.
And hearing him.
How's it going, Rob?
It's going great now that we're together here.
Good. And we've been together in the Bottom-Up Revolution for a while, have we not?
We have, yes. Getting on to 15 years, something like that.
Yeah, and we have my co-host Danny Dugan in the studio.
That's right, Bobby. Right here.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
All right. So the book seems incredibly interesting in dissecting what's happening in the world. I, of course, was drawn to Chapter 5, the one on the activists. And again, you're suggesting in the book that a lot of classic... work is no longer applicable or maybe overcome. That Max Weber on bureaucracy, C. Wright Mills, the power elite. So you're talking about bringing down the reigning pyramid and that there may be a paradigm shift that allows us to take down, like these monuments to oppression that, like the pyramids in Egypt. Think it's really possible to bring down these the military-industrial complex and reshape it?
Well, the first step to making something happen is to consider it, to think about it, to envision it. And in the book, I talk about how there have been studies that show that you don't directly assault powerful forces head-on. If you do that, you're going to lose.
Yeah, well, Sun Tzu and Mao, I think you used, a variety of guerrillas, the Sandinistas, the Zapatistas. Can that be applied in the United States?
I think it already is. I think, you know, to finish what I was saying, the way that you deal with a much greater power is you don't fight them with their weapons. You don't fight them against their strengths. You find your own strengths and you fight them that way. It's the David and Goliath thing. That is the way that you win. You don't try to overcome the system, you replace it. And you come up with something that's better that attracts people to it. You know, I talk a lot in that book, in chapter 5, about power and how power has changed. The old power was hard power, money and weapons. Mostly nations held them. The new power is soft power and it's attraction. It's power that draws people to it, that, and that can change everything. In Iraq, for example, it was soft power that finally got the U.S. some progress. It was not using weapons and bombs.
I thought it was shock and awe. Bridges. It wasn't shock and awe. It wasn't bombing people.
No.
The Chinese are accused of using soft power on occasion, are they not?
Well, I think it's smart to use soft power. Soft power is the future.
In their case, building infrastructure for people as opposed to bombing and occupying them.
Well, let's face it. The Chinese over the last couple of decades have spent trillions on infrastructure and education, whereas we've thrown it away on wars. And look, it's done wonderful things for them.
Okay. So I noticed in the bottom-up revolution you interviewed a variety of people, Madeleine Albright. And again, actually, she back in 1997, she was heckled in this town, which helped stop an attack on Iraq. So ironically, there was a bottom-up revolt against her. But one of my favorite people, Medea Benjamin, I think does a great job of talking about bottom-up revolution from what she's famous for, confronting very powerful people. How does that work?
I love that section of the book. Basically, I had her give detailed instructions of how to interrupt a president or any other powerful person.
There you go.
She walks you through how to prepare for it, what to do, where to sit, how to get started. Once they start trying to pull you out, how to deal with it and what to do afterwards.
I know, it was like a how-to manual. Did you intend the book to function in that way?
Well, people say that there's a lot of how-to in the book. You know, I tried to put together a picture of bottom-up. Let's face it, most people don't have a clue what bottom-up is beyond grassroots and maybe crowdfunding or wisdom of the crowds. And I think that there's a massive more to bottom-up than just that. And that what I came away from is what I'd like people to walk away with is the idea of bottom-up connection consciousness, that we're all connected to each other in many, many, many profound ways, that we evolve to be connected to each other, and that the better we remember that and behave in that way, the more successful we're going to be, and probably the happier we're going to be, and the more sustainable our world will be.
Yeah, Rob, you know, some parts of the book do read a little bit like, I hate to use the term self-help, but still it is your advice in how to, you know,
I don't have any problem with self-help.
Well, there you go. I wasn't sure if that term was proper, but yeah, and I think that's some of the best parts of it. And, you know, in giving people basic ideas, I won't call them rules, but suggestions, how to execute, how to organize and get active in a bottom-up revolution. So, yeah, definitely.
And how to be, I've been involved in positive psychology, so there's a part in the book about how to be happier,
right?
How to find more positive experiences and make them better, mm-hmm. How to connect with people better and smarter. Because, you know, the great thing is the web and smartphones have catalyzed a return to bottom up, which is a good thing, but they've also catalyzed a a massive epidemic of disconnection, where people are less connected to other people in the concrete ways, in analog ways, where they're actually face-to-face talking and touching each other. And we're connected with nature. And I think that's really an important part that we need to get back to. We can't allow our attraction to technology to divorce us from each other and from nature.
Well, you actually go back and touch on hunter-gatherer societies and their sort of social interactive nature. So, and also at a certain point, I don't know if you intend, and also your book seems a bit Zen, almost Buddhist.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, I mean it as, and I know Dan Dugan.
Well, the lack of hair helps definitely in the.
Oh, yeah, and you want to read that statement from our good friend Dennis Kucinich?
Yes, Dennis Kucinich says about your book, Rob Call shows us that the high-tech information revolution set the stage for a political and social evolution, the connectivity of which has the capacity to transform everything everywhere. We have only to say yes to tap into the power of this interconnection, participating in it from where we stand. So there you go.
So your point is we're already interconnected, right? That the old order has the hierarchies and top-down pyramids are already collapsing. We're already in the revolution.
Well, I'm not sure they're all collapsing, but a lot of businesses have collapsed already because of the new bottom-up businesses that have replaced them. And people's brains are different. If people who were born after 1980 have different brains, they see differently, they relate differently. And it's really important to understand that if you're going to communicate with those people. And you better.
Yeah, I have a son who was born in 2003. So, yeah, definitely. Communication is different, that's for sure. But, of course, you get that with generations, but major changes in communication have happened in the several generations since World War II, that's for sure. So, yeah.
So do we have to worry about who controls the new social network? I mean, Mr. Zuckerberg and Bezos and others, is, you know, even if we flatten the pyramid, they seem to be standing on the top of the flattened pyramid.
Well, yeah, we're talking about the problem with the biggest platforms. The biggest platforms started out using bottom-up ideas and technologies, but they've become behemoths, giants. And, you know, I have a whole section in my book about how big is pathological, big is dangerous. And they've become too big. And I think we need to
real fast
regulate them,
yeah.
If not basically take them over and put them back as part of the commons. And that makes libertarians and what have you crazy, along with my suggestion that we need to make it illegal to become and be a billionaire. Because I think those are other aspects of big that are problematic. But I also say that government can often be too big as well. And we have to look at big everywhere and consider both top down and big as considerations that we have to look out at every aspect of our system, our culture, and attempt to try to make them smaller and more bottom up. We need some top down, it's essential, but there's too much. And ever since civilization came along with hierarchy and centralization, we've repressed too much of our bottom upness. We are bottom up beings. We evolved to be that way. We've got hundreds of bottom up genes, and they've been repressed, and we got to release them. And it's happening. But the more you know about it, the more you can release your own, and you can tap the bottom up power that's within you. Bottom up power is soft power. It's about connecting to other people, connecting to our culture, connecting to each other. And that's something that will enable us to make the changes that we really have to make in order for us to create a sustainable world.
All right. And we got 3 minutes left. What was your primary motivation in writing this book?
Well, you know, Op-Ed News is my news and opinion progressive website. And
a great website it is. Check that out. Op-Ed News. I've written for it.
Harvey Wasserman. I started it as a personal blog, and it just took off. It got really bigger and bigger, so it was seeing hundreds of thousands of visitors per month, up to 800,000 in a month. And what I found was the more I let go of control, the more I included all the users and the writers and the readers in making decisions on policy, the better it did. That got me really interested in what bottom up is all about. And then I made some discoveries, like the idea that we evolved to be bottom up, and that history is now being taught primarily bottom up. Howard Zinn was one of the pioneers in that, but now most history is taught in a bottom up way. If you think about it, if you teach top down history, where it's all about kings and governors and military leaders, people think that's the way history happens. If you talk about bottom-up history, about how workers and the average person make up a central role in history, then people learn to think that they can play a role in making history happen.
And then women...
Bottom-up is the way I see it, bottom-up is a metaphoric filter through which we can see our world. And it can even be a value system.
And then women were granted the right to vote, as opposed to they went out and marched, chained themselves to the White House fences, went on, hunger strikes, had their jaws pried open. So, yeah, no, I'm with you there. And you did empower people at Op-Ed News. I was sort of stunned early on because you would allow people to, publish their own stuff, become editors. You weren't hoarding all the power. You actually were living the bottom-up revolution.
I try. Not all the times. There are times when you have to make a call, but I try to give up as much of it as I can. There's a whole movement for getting rid of hierarchical management, and they say that's when the leaders decide that the employers are ready to grow up and take their own responsibility, and I love that.
All right, Op-Ed News, we got to run. Thanks for being on.
Thank you, Rob.
The other side of the news, Rob.
RobCall.com is where people can order the book.
RobCall.com.
Bottom up revolution.
Kind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord.